Well, good morning to everybody. Today is the final message from the stanza of Psalm 119, verses 127, 128. We've been through all these verses from 121 to 128, and this is the kind of the culmination of the thought that David was presenting here in the Psalms. I titled this message, Faint Not. Let's faint not, you know, keep going. Do not lose track of what we have going on and just keep on keeping on for the Lord. Let's turn to an introductory verse in that regard. It's Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9. We're familiar passage with reaping what we sow. Galatians 6, starting verse 7, says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Key word, if. Don't faint. If we faint not. Do not faint. Do not quit. We're running this race, the spiritual race, to win Christ from Philippians 3. Don't quit the race. Keep going. And the goal is to what? Reap life everlasting. That is more than just salvation. Everybody accept the Lord from Romans 10:9. Mouth confession, heart belief. You have everlasting life. You have eternal life. But there's more to it than that. It's reaping life everlasting that the Lord wants us to have from His message that He's laid out through the gospel of grace that was given to Paul. So we're going to study this a little more in depth today and see what it means to faint not. So back to the passage of Psalms 119. It says in 127, "Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." We see that word, therefore. That means David is speaking this because of what was just stated before that. And we saw that from last week. The verse previous to that is, "Time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." And remember that point, that was the point where it's time for if you're a faithful servant, you're pausing to hear the commander-in-chief's message, the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear His word. You're pausing and say, "Okay, I'm listening, I hear what you say, now I'm going to do it." You take that pause, you hear what He said, and now you're going to do it. Because remember that last week's message, the previous three verses, it was a servant prays, a servant pleads, and a servant pauses. So in verse 126, he pauses and say, "Okay, it's time for thee, Lord. I can't do it myself." You have to realize when you're in a spiritual walk with the Lord, the battle is the Lord. It's not ours. We're just here to be a servant of His. He's in control. He will get us through it, all things, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what we're going through. So in verse 127, it says, "Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, because I've heard your word, I understand your word, now I'm going to do your word. I love thy commandments above gold." Boy, talk about gold. There's a lot of that in our life, isn't there? You know, everybody wants to do is search for that gold, that hidden treasure, whatever, from this worldly point of view. It's what this world is after. Let's look at the first point here is we need to find the gold. I love thy commandments above gold, yeah, above fine gold. How do we find the gold? It goes back to, what does God consider gold? What does He consider gold? Let's start off with, we're in Psalms, let's go to Psalm 138, verse 2. What does God consider gold? Psalms 138 and verse 2. "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Here, David tells us this passage that the Lord God has magnified his word above his own name. He's put it pretty high, very high, at the highest peak in God's mind. The word of God is the highest. That puts it higher than anything worldly we can put our hands on, doesn't it? God loves his word, in other words. He loves his word. So, what did David say in verse 127? I love thy commandments above gold. He loves the word of God above the worldly possession of gold. God loves his word more than anything. Magnified his word above his own name. Finding gold, in other words, is loving the word. Putting the word as high as God puts it. Put it very high. It's at the highest. We see, let's look at another passage, Matthew 22. We see Jesus talking in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, starting in verse 36. Says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So here's this guy asking the Lord, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. That's all three being. We're made up of three things. That's all three of them right there. Body, soul, spirit. So, love the Lord with all our being. That is what we should do. That's how we get close to putting the word where God wants it at. Remember, the word is above God's own name, magnified above his own name. So, if it says here, love the Lord thy God with everything, our whole being. Well, what is the Lord thy God? Who is that? What is that? What's the word say? John 15:1. What is that described as? John 15:1. Maybe quote that one. Let's turn to it. If you love the Lord, you love his word. John 15:1. I mean, not John 1:1, excuse me. John 1:1. If you love the Lord, to love the Lord is to love his word, because he is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. If you love the Lord God, you love his word, because he is the word. We have to love it more than the world. Love him more than this world. Love him above anything, just like God does. John, another example, John 14:15. John 14:15. Jesus states here, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, he's the word. And he's saying, if you love me, keep his word. Keep my commandments. How do we find gold? We love him. We love the word more than anything this world can offer us. That's how we find gold. So, loving the word is finding the gold that God has for us. That's where it starts at. You think about it, the word saved us. You know, the word saved us from eternal damnation. The word guides our life. The word tells us how to live our life. The word tells us what the future holds. It tells us everything. And here we are today. What do we do with it? Are we trying to dig for that gold that God has in his word? Are we trying to love him above everything else this world has to offer? Are we trying to love him like the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, as we continue this thought, if we love the word above fine gold, let's see what Paul says about it in 1 Timothy 6. Give us a warning here in starting in verse 10. 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 10. You think of the worldly side of things. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Love of money is the root of all evil. And what happens? You put the love of money, you err from the faith. You err from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. You err from the faith. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Flee these things? Flee what? Flee the love of money. Flee the root of all evil. Flee the worldly things. Flee putting the world first. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. No one ever said it was easy following God. That's why we have this command here, fight the good fight of faith. Hey, that fight we learned from previous, last week, before, where's the fight at? It's in our mind. It starts in our mind. You fight the good fight of faith. You overcome what our flesh wants to do, what our flesh tells us to do. That's everything against the Word. We fight the good fight of faith. We lay hold on eternal life. That is an interesting term, laying hold on eternal life. What do we read in an introductory, Galatians 6? Reap life everlasting. Basically, they mean the same thing. Reap life everlasting, lay hold on eternal life. God has so much more for us than just salvation. He has that second inheritance that we talked about last week. That is the Lord's inheritance that we stand to win or lose. Stand to gain or lose at judgment. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Let's skip down to verse 17 here. We're dealing with the context of those that have a fair amount of money, worldly riches here. What's the command here starting in verse 17? Remember, we're talking about finding gold. These folks here in this passage, they have the worldly gold. So God's gold is from His Word and loving it. What they say in verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which gives us richly all things to enjoy. Don't trust in the riches of this world. Don't put your trust in all the money you have in the bank or all your possessions you have, but trust in the living God. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. One thing to keep in mind in this passage here is like, we think, oh, this, we're talking about like millionaires and billionaires here now. Think about it, how blessed we have been in this country, what we have compared to many, many folks in the rest of the world. We have a lot. So this is talking about us. Get right down to it. If you've got anything that God has given you, it's talking about us. And it says that they, in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. See that key word? Rich in good works. Find gold. There it is. There's the key. Be rich in good works. That's how we get the gold that God wants, because we're following the good works laid out from the Word of God. In verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There's that lay hold again. Lay hold on it, that they may lay hold. Not a guarantee. Second inheritance, winning Christ, not a guarantee. It's up to us to lay hold on eternal life. But look at that, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. What's the time to come? That time to come is judgment seat of Christ for us. Saved believers, that time to come is when we stand before judgment. We're laying, what did we lay up in store for ourselves? A good foundation. Now, we know the foundation. We know what the foundation is, right? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to turn to 1 Corinthians 3 now to finish this thought out. 1 Corinthians 3, judgment seat of Christ. That time to come is judgment seat of Christ. And it's talking about laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. We have the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's up to us, what do we build on it? Because as any builder knows, you got to have a good foundation. You ever try to build anything without a foundation? It crumbles real quick. It crumbles real quick. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, your foundation. You got the one and only foundation. You got the foundation. Starting in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. How he said back in Timothy, lay up and store on the foundation, a good foundation. What do you do? How are you building on it? Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. You got the foundation when you got saved. The Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, guess what? He's in us. He's not going anywhere. He's sealed to the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 4:30 tells us that. He is sealed to the day of redemption. He's not going anywhere. He is the foundation. It's up to us. What do we build on it? Then what's it say? Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. You got three good ones. You got three that are going to burn. Three that are going to make it through the fire. Three that are going to burn. It's materials are made of. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every work will be tried by fire. Remember, we're talking about getting the riches, right? Finding the gold. Here it is. If any man's work abide, he shall, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. He shall receive a reward. He shall have riches. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So, finding the gold is getting through the fire, the works that we've done, getting through the fire. And a key thing to look at here, verse 14. We tie this together. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward. Abide. That means make it through the judgment. Make it through the fire. Make it through what God, the test that God puts it through. Does it pass his test of, did you listen to my word? Did you love me above anything and everything? Did you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind? Did you? That will abide if you love his word more than anything else. So abide's the key word. Let's tie this together in 1 Corinthians 13:13. What else abides? The three things that abide, that are abiding right now, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity is the love relationship that we have with the Lord. This passage lays it all out, the characteristics of charity, what it is. It's just an awesome thing to read this passage, but we see that charity is what abides, and it is one of three things that abides, just like gold, silver, precious stones. Charity abides, and it is the most important, so it lines up with the gold. Therefore, if it abides now, it abides at the judgment seat, it abides through the fire. There is the gold that we can find. It lines up with what God has laid out for us. So, what are we doing today that will abide? Are we loving the Lord with all our heart? Are we loving His Word more than anything? Or are we seeking worldly possessions, seeking worldly, anything worldly that goes, that helps us, we can lay our hands on, and we can lay our arms around the temporal stuff? Or are we seeking God's treasure, finding the gold, loving His Word? Let's turn back to the passage in Psalm 119, see the second thought here. Starts again in verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So, verse 127 started with therefore. It's because I'm pausing. I want to hear what the Word says. I'm going to do it. And now, verse 128 is therefore there. So, because I love the Word so much, above gold, above any worldly possessions, I esteem all precepts concerning all things to be right. I esteem the Word to be right in all things. The Word is esteemed right. Therefore, I esteem the Word right. Now, what does that mean? If I esteem the Word right, I have a personal choice here to do that. It's our individual choice. There is not going to be anyone, especially God, forcing you to make this choice, to esteem the Word above all, and to esteem it to be right in all things. It's easy to say that, hey, the Word is perfect, the Word is infallible, the Word is the Word of God. It's easy to say that. Now it's our choice to actually believe that and apply that. Just like David is doing here, he esteemed that all things to be right. Do we do that? That is a personal choice, and it's a very, very personal choice that we have to make. And guess what? It's not an easy one. With the world we live in now, it is not an easy one. I want to show you an example of a choice that was made by Joshua that really hits home for today's time. We'll turn to a familiar passage in Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Joshua made this choice. Do we make this choice? Joshua 24, we started in verse 14. Joshua 24, starting in verse 14, says, Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. What's that passage mean to us right now? This is Joshua talking to the Israelites and saying, hey, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. There is the choice. Insincerity is our choice. Are we sincere about it? Are we in the Word of God? We following Him through His Word. And put away the God which your father served on the other side of the flood. Back then, in the sinful past, other side of the flood, God judged the world with the flood. What happened to us? Picture for us is before we were saved, the sins we were involved with, put away that. Put away that stuff that we were involved with, that we all involved with because of our flesh. Put it away on the other side of that flood. God paid the judgment. Now here we are. And also, putting away the gods that are on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Egypt, the picture of the world. Here we are today. We're living. Picture of this world we're in. There's so many things that take us out. Serve Him. Put away those gods. Serve Him, the Lord, and put away those gods, the worldly things, the temporal things. and it says, and serve ye the Lord. Now verse 15 is where he makes this statement. It says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, that you ever get accused of that? Like, you're wrong. I can't believe you believe this God thing. You believe in the Lord Jesus. You believe this? Come on. That's evil. You're wrong in that. Anybody heard that? Yeah. It says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Here's the choice. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You talk about a stand he just made. That's an awesome one. Can we make that same stand today in this world we live in? We live in Egypt today, just like it was all the worldly possessions. We have to make this choice. If we are esteeming the word to be right, that's the choice we have to make, our individual choice. Now, let's turn to the New Testament and see 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when Paul made a statement dealing with Thessalonians about the word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Thessalonians made a choice, didn't they? They didn't receive the word that Paul was preaching as the word of men, like just like today. I can't believe you believe that Bible. It's just written by men. Doesn't apply to anything today. They just manipulated it. It's been all these translations, all that. It doesn't mean anything to us. What Paul say here, it says, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Have we made the choice? Have we esteemed the word to be right? Like Paul said the Thessalonians did, this is our choice. Because it is the word of God, and it effectually worketh in you that believe the word, to believe the truth. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul? Do you believe that? Here it is. The word is here to guide our life, to give us the truth, to help us to find the goal, to help us to finish the course. That's our second point here, is finishing the course. We find the goal, we finish the course. To do that, we have to esteem the word to be right. Just like Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just like the Thessalonians did, as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively works in you to believe. They accepted it. Let's look at Philippians. Another Philippians 3:9. Thessalonians, Paul was talking about the stuff he had spoken. Here it is in Philippians. Paul was talking about what he had spoken here again in Philippians 3:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What Paul has laid out, Romans through Philemon, what you have heard in them, what you have learned in them, what you received in them, what you've seen in them, what Paul laid out, do it. That's our doctrine. That's the gospel of grace that Paul laid out for us. We should be doing what Paul laid out for us. That's a key point to remember. If you esteem the word to be right, you do what Paul laid out. You follow it. That is the doctrine that the Lord gave through Paul for us to follow, that we are accountable for at that judgment seat, where all our good works will be tried by that fire. Will we have any goal as it relates to the relationship we have with the Lord? Back to the Psalm 119, second part of 128. First part says, therefore I esteem all things, turn all things to be right, and I hate every false way. What do you mean, God hates? That's what it says. He hates the false way. If David is saying this, that he hates the false way, it's approved by God, then we need to hate the false way. And what is the false way? God, let's look at Galatians 1. Galatians 1. There is a false way. Verse 8 and 9. Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Two times. What is Paul saying? Let him be accursed. Those any other gospel that was preaching to you, if it's different than the gospel I'm preaching, in verse 9, if it's another gospel that you have received from him, just like we saw in Philippians 3:9, learned, received, heard, and seen in me do. Here's two of them. Those that you preached unto you, and those that you received, that I give you. Another gospel, let him be accursed. That is hating the false way. Do not go down that road. You get outside what Paul was preaching, there's a severe warning here. Let him be accursed. Let him be separated. Let him be just destroyed. You think about it in that regard, what will happen if we do works that are laid out in Paul's writing, if we do works that are opposite of that? They're going through that fire. Winds up with the wood, hay, and stubble. We didn't follow what Paul laid out. And that truth, it will burn. The gospel that Paul laid out, we can see the overview of it in 2 Timothy 2:10. Let's turn to that. 2 Timothy 2:10. That gospel that he laid out. Second Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That is the whole gospel right there. Salvation with eternal glory. You can also find it in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. Salvation with eternal glory. That's the gospel laid out. Now, last week, what did we talk about when we were pausing to hear the word? Part of that was we heard, seeing the wisdom from God, the wisdom of that. There's two inheritances. Two inheritances. You got our inheritance from salvation. You got his inheritance, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we stand to win or lose, to receive or lose at the judgment seat. So, there it is, tying it together. Christ Jesus, salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We have salvation, sealed with the day of redemption, not going anywhere, but it's that part that they may obtain salvation with eternal glory. So, to finish the course, the gospel that Paul laid out is salvation with eternal glory. It's that second inheritance. We wrap all this together, like, love the Lord and that God with all our heart, love the Word above everything, then here comes Paul saying, hey, what I spoke is the word. We need to do it. Don't, and the warning here, Galatians 1, don't do against what I've spoken to you. You'll be accursed. You're going to lose out of judgment seat. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 16:22. Finishing the course here. 1 Corinthians 16:22. You hate the false way. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. That means accursed at his coming. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed at his coming. Whoa. There it is again. Second time. from Galatians 1, we saw, let him be accursed. For any other gospel, let him be accursed. Now, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. How do we love God? We love him, keep his commandments. The commandments he laid out, Paul give them to us. If you don't love the word, if you don't love what Paul wrote to us, you're going to be accursed. Very key warning. Very key in understanding the false way that's laid out before us. When you get outside of that, that's the false way. Now, let's look at wrapping up the point of finishing the course. We're fainting not, and we're going to finish this course here. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Remember what it says here in 1 Corinthians. It says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Here's Paul at the end of his life making this statement. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What did 1 Corinthians 16 say? Loving Jesus. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, here he says, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do we love his appearing? If we do, what's laid up for us? Laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Remember that term, lay hold on eternal life? There it is. Lay up for me a crown of righteousness. The riches, the fine gold, there's that crown of righteousness right there, tied in. Why? Because I love his appearing above everything. I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, my whole being. That's what we need to do in order to earn this crown, this gold. To love his appearing is to love his word. Finishing the course. Because the Lord is coming. Do we know what day? No. We don't know what day. But any of us know how many days we have on this earth? No. We could die on a car wreck, in a car wreck on the way home. And that's the day we're meeting the Lord. Are we ready? Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:15 to look. Tie this together and fainting not here. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So redound to the glory of God. And verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Because of the glory of God that we hope to receive, may obtain salvation with eternal glory. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our flesh is going to die. Our outward man needs to perish. And our inner man needs to be renewed day by day in the Word, because we love His Word. We're following Him. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Salvation with eternal glory. Far more exceeding. This light affliction we have, you think about all the stuff that Paul went through, it was a nightmare. God had grace and mercy and got him through all the stuff he dealt with, what we went through. It's not much compared to that, what Paul went through. The key is understanding that what we're going through is just a light affliction. Finishing the course, having the strength to get through it, to be able to stand on what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's nothing going to take us out. In conclusion, let's look at the conclusion of the whole matter in Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12, last verse in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, starting in verse 13. To finish the course, to faint not. Here it is. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Find the gold, finish the course, and faint not. Keep His commandments, the whole duty of man. Every work will be judged. Real simple, loving message today to understand that, hey, God's watching. We have a job to do. Let's do it. Let's don't faint. Because in the end, salvation with eternal glory awaits us if we faint not. Lord, I just thank You for this day, these truths that so clearly show us in Your Word. Lord, help us to just continue on for You. Help us to faint not, to find Your goal in the Word, and to finish Your course You laid out for us, Lord. Just thank You for that truth. Lord, it's not easy, but You're here for us. You are in control. No matter what happens, help us to be able to say, hey, I will serve You no matter what. Lord, we just thank You and praise You for all things, and just forgive us where we fail, forgive us when we fall, help us to get back up, and help us to do what's right for You, Lord, because in the end, Your glory, receiving the glory that You've had for us is what really matters. We just thank You, praise You for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.